Good morning, everybody. I want to teach you guys some new songs. In fact, they're all new. So, get ready. The first one is by Ascend the Hill, and they're really good. Their album is free, so you can download it if you like this stuff off their website. But let me teach you guys the chorus. So first of all, rise to your feet so you can take a deep breath. Breathing is critical for many things, but mostly for singing. So let me teach you the chorus. I'll sing it one time, and then I'll do it again, and everybody join in me on the second time. It goes like this. The Lord is gracious, slow to anger, rich in love. He's good, so good to us. You think you can handle that? It's not that hard. Let's give it a shot, everybody together. The Lord is gracious, slow to anger, rich in love. He's good, so good. Let's try it again with the words on the screen if they can work. Because that'll help you guys. Because I know the words. Fortunately. Here we go. Let's try it again. Ready?
The Lord is gracious, slow to anger, rich in love. He's good, so good to us.
Again, the Lord is gracious, slow to anger, rich in love. He's good, so good to us. Beautiful. Let's give it a shot.
When the darkness crept and overshadowed the sun, we were buried in the sickness, the sin had begun. And we were thirsty and we were tired, but God said come. And despite our condition, the light now shines where the dark had convinced us that no man tastes and no man sees. Well, instead of repaying us what we deserve, or according to the sin and the wrath that we've earned, he lifted it and he put it on his son. So down came love, the right hand of God, the man called Christ, and he swallowed it up, that all men taste and see that the Lord is gracious, slow to anger, rich in love. He's good, so good to us. The Lord is gracious, slow to anger, rich in love. He's good, so good to us. And if my righteousness is filthy rags and yours is a shield about my chest, when your righteous cry you hear, and when your voice breaks through the noise and confusion, responding to my lowly position, I hear you and I feel you, and I know that the Lord is gracious, slow to anger, rich in love. He's good, so good to us. The Lord is gracious, slow to anger, rich in love. He's good, so good to us. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. His mercy endures for ever. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever.
You guys are good. Thanks for trying that. That verse, the chorus of that song, "The Lord is good, he is slow to anger." Man, whenever I sing that, it just shakes me that he is slow to anger. It's crazy. Because I don't know about you, but I am not slow to anger. So I'm super thankful that my God is slow to anger. It reminds me of this verse in 1 Peter that just went away. Paraphrase version. God is not slow as some consider him slow, but he is patient, wanting that all people come to repentance. And I'm very, very thankful for that because I'm constantly messing up, as you well know. All right, take it away, Brandon.
Holy Spirit hovering over the deep, speak out the light and let it flood into me. Whisper the word that gave creation her form. I'm searching for a light that hasn't been there before. Speak the light into the darkness. Breathe life into my lungs. Fill my soul as deep as the ocean. I'm reaching for your love. And all that I can do is give it back to you. You've taken my old skin and you made it new again. And all that I can do is give it back to you. You've taken my old skin and you made it new again. And you have made me new, a new creation, a new creation. Holy Spirit hovering over the deep, bringing out the colors that my heart set to see. Lights on fire for the warmth of your love, but every hour there's a rising sun. Speak the light into the darkness. Breathe life into my lungs. Fill my soul as deep as the ocean. I'm reaching for your love. And all that I can do is give it back to you. You've taken my old skin and made it new again. And all that I can do is give it back to you. You've taken my old skin and made it new again. And all that made me new, a new creation. A new creation. A new creation. A new creation. And all that I can do is give it back to you. You've taken my old skin and you made it new again. And all that I can do is give it back to you. You've taken my old skin and you made it new again.
Thank you. And you know you'll be all right. Oh, and you know you'll be all right. This is not the end. This is not the end of us. We will shine like the stars, bright, brighter.
One, two, three, four.
Oh, 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 oh.
You guys can have a seat. Mr. Aaron. Mr. Aaron.
Thank you. Oh. What's up, Matthew? Geez, y'all are acting like you're going to church with your grandma. Let's try that again. What's up, Matthew? Yeah, now your grandpa's there too. Geez, y'all aren't even awake. Gracious sakes, I was up at 5:30 this morning before y'all, some of y'all hadn't even been to bed yet, I bet. What's up? I'm Aaron Softley. I am a MacU alumnus, class of 99, the last graduating class of the 20th century when dinosaurs ruled the world. I know what Professor Woolard's face looks like without this. You probably could still play a mean middle linebacker, can't you, in flag football? That dude killed some people on the basketball court. Like, they left hobbling away, broken ankles and everything. You should see his crossover. It's majestic. Man, back in my day, this building was still a dream. This used to be an open patch of grass. I used to take my pitching wedge and hit golf balls from the street into the Pasqua tank. This was just a dream. The library was in a broom closet across the street. It was so small. A lot of us, okay, the internet. None of us had ever seen this thing called the internet when we started here. Our first email address. Okay, I know you know what email is, kind of. You know, that's kind of old school now. Email, our first email address was here. If you said something about Twitter or Facebook, we would swear you were drunk or crazy because they hadn't even, you know, Mark Zuckerberg hadn't even gotten out of diapers yet when I graduated here. Phil Alleygood was still yelling at us to keep off the grass. Wait a minute. He's in Vegas right now. I just heard it. He's still doing it. Nothing has changed. You know, and all kinds of things, you know, have changed since I've been here. You know, back in my day, tattoos and piercings, they were punished by stoning down on East Campus. And so a lot has really changed. And, you know, you guys are looking at me and thinking, man, dude, you are so old. And you are so right. I am 35 years old. I'm old. Some of you people are half my age. You were still in diapers when I was here. And so, yeah, I feel really old. There's a lot of salt mixing in with the pepper right here. And yes, I promise I am not trying to audition for Duck Dynasty. All that, dude, me and you. Look at that. He's already live. What's your name? Landon. Come here. Let me hug you. Oh, that's like Velcro. Very nice. Very nice. Although there's a lot of salt in the pepper, I am convinced that this is just wisdom pushing to the surface. That's like in Proverbs, isn't it, Professor Willard?
I'm sure it is.
Because that is a, look at him, that is a wise, wise, very wise man right there. Pop Lewis, where are you at? Dude, you haven't changed a day. What's your secret? You haven't aged a bit. We're just going to leave that where it's at right there, okay? Guys, I'm excited to kind of be here hanging out with you today. I'm here because one of your esteemed classmates, Miss Katie Broyles, asked me to come speak for her because, like most people, she is too chicken to get up and speak in chapel. I'm just kidding. No. I met Katie, what was it, about 2 years ago? Her husband, Dave, I'm old, so I don't remember how long it was ago. Dave was doing a music internship down in Greenville, and I met her. They are some of the coolest people that my wife and I know. And Katie calls me up out of the blue and says, hey, I am in counseling class. I need to do an internship. can I come hang out with you? And I said, absolutely, you can do that. I am a chaplain with Community Home Care and Hospice. And hospice, if some of you aren't familiar with that word, hospice is part of the medical field in which we concentrate on caring for patients and providing comfort to them as they deal with a terminal illness. In layman's terms, I hang out with dying people all day long. And one of the greatest joys of my life is telling people what I do for a living when I meet them. You know, hey, I'm Aaron. Well, what do you do? Because obviously we are identified by what we do for a living and how much money we make. You know, our identity is in Jesus, but I play along. What do you do? Well, I'm a hospice chaplain. The look on their face is priceless. Oh, and they realize that they look horrified, so they try to smile and change it. And then the things that come out of their mouths are just classic. I'm trying not to die inside. How do you cope? What kind of antidepressant are you on? What is it like to be sad all the time? People actually say this, and then they try to correct themselves. Oh, that's just really cool. I'm like, okay, it's fine. Okay, I'm not depressed all the time. Yes, I hang out with people who are in the middle of the toughest time in their life, but it is one of the coolest, most rewarding, and humbling things I have ever done. I have met hundreds of people and heard wonderful stories, love stories that sound like they're out of a fairy tale. Tales of heroism from veterans who served in World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. And just regular, ordinary, everyday people who are in the midst of the toughest time of their life. And God has placed me in their lives to just try to provide a little comfort, a little spiritual care, and help them get ready for when this chapter of their existence is over. It is one of the greatest things I've ever done in my life. I love it. And many of the people that I talk with and visit with, they've been dealing with their disease for a long time. You know, whether it's cancer or COPD or something like that, they've dealt with it for several years. And most of them have reached a point in life where they are at peace with what's going on. They know that unless Jesus decides to intervene, and He can, but if He doesn't, they know that this illness is going to end their life before it should. And they're okay with that. They're at peace. But every once in a while, I will run into someone who has a lot of questions. A lot of questions. Big spiritual questions about life, God, death, heaven and hell, all of these things. But the biggest question I ever get is why? Why has this happened to me? Why has God allowed me to suffer with this illness? Why in the world am I going through this? For them, if I may use the phrase, all hell is broke loose. And they just don't know what to do. Well, fortunately, God has included an account in the Bible about a man for whom all hell had broken loose in his life. And his name is Habakkuk. Hard to say, even harder to spell. And Habakkuk, I'm convinced, is one of the most ignored books in all of the Bible because it's tucked in there in the minor prophets. And as we all know, the Old Testament is completely irrelevant to our lives because we're New Testament Christians, right? Wrong. Habakkuk is one of the most relevant books to our society and our generation and our culture. Because even though this guy isn't like some of my patients, he's not suffering from cancer or something like that, he is going through the crisis of his life and he is asking why. And so, where are my preacher guys? Who's graduating and preaching? None of you. Where are they all at? Youth ministers. Okay, all right. Okay, one day you're going to graduate from youth ministry and probably preach. So, like when you get my age and, you know, kids start looking at you like, dude, gray hair, that's old. Okay, take you some notes. I'm going to give you a series on the book of Habakkuk, okay? A quick overview. Habakkuk is complaining about all the wickedness and evil and corruption in the nation of Judah. He's like, God, stuff is awful around here. What are you going to do about it? And so God says, dude, I've got it under control. I've got a plan. I'm going to take care of it because I'm going to send Babylon to come in and clean up. Now, if you've been paying attention in Professor Woolard's class or Dr. Field's class or whoever teaches Old Testament now, you will know that the Babylonian Empire, they were some bad dudes. They were wicked. They were corrupt. They were mean people. And so Habakkuk's thinking, okay, God is holy. He can't like what's going on around here. It's bad, but the Babylonians, they're even worse than us. And he tells God that, like, God, this doesn't make any sense. The Babylonians, they're worse than we are. And so God's reply is this, dude, I've got it. I'm going to take care of Babylon too. Okay, they're going to get my judgment as well. But you, the righteous man, lives by... And I heard professors say it. Man, you guys need to learn that verse, Habakkuk 2:4. The righteous man lives by faith. In other words, I've got it. You may not understand it, but you need to trust me. And the rest of Habakkuk, that's what he talks about. Even though he doesn't understand why God is doing what he's doing in the midst of his personal crisis, he accepts God's plan. He praises him for it, and this is how he ends the book. Listen to what he says in Habakkuk 3, 17 through 19. Yes, I'm old, but I know how to use a Bible on my smartphone. Habakkuk writes this. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. In other words, when life sucks, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy, get this, in the God of my salvation. Yahweh, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places. Y'all, these verses have meant a ton to me, especially recently as I have helped some people who are facing death and they really shouldn't be. A lady who is so scared that she is not going to meet her new grandbaby. A lady who I have known for several years now, who can barely get out of the bed because she cannot breathe. She's only 49, and she is wondering what is going on. And the reason for this is that all hell is broken loose in their life. Their life is going to end soon, but when we go over these verses and talk about that even though we don't know why certain things happen, why bad things have happened to them, they eventually come to the place where God is their salvation. In other words, God has promised to deliver them. He has promised to save them. Even when we don't understand why, how, or when, He has promised to do that. And He is also our strength. He is enough for us to withstand whatever life throws at us. He's promised to deliver, and He's promised to give us everything we need to withstand it and to endure it. And so many times the folks that I meet who struggle with why, they eventually come to be at peace because of their faith. They come to know that God, yes, even though life is really tough right now and my life is almost over, He's going to deliver. He is going to save, and He is my strength. And so what does this have to do with you guys? I mean, you guys are young. Most of you are half my age. You know, none of you have had to deal with things like, you know, cancer or things like that. You may know someone who has. You know, you guys are young, okay? Well, this time right now, your time here at Mid-Atlantic, this is a special time for you guys. College is a blast. It is a wonderful time. You are meeting people. You have met people that will be your friends for the rest of your life, no matter how long you live. Some of you have or will meet your future spouse on this campus. I know that happened for me. I met my wife here. I got married my senior year. You know, we've been together for almost 15 years now. It is a blast. I've talked with some of you. I mean, you know, these guys, the Broyles, it's like they're going to retire when they graduate from here. Not really, but they told me about what ministry they've signed up for. These are things that, you know, the people that went when I was here, we can never dream about sailing up and down the coast and being missionaries on the beach. That is awesome. You want to trade places with me? No, don't. Say no. Don't. You don't. It's okay. A lot of you guys, you are ready to go out and kick some butt in Jesus' name and take the world by force and usher in the kingdom of God. And you need to feel that way. It is an exciting, exciting time for you. Okay? I enjoyed my time here thoroughly. Like I said, I met my wife. My professors were awesome. There is only one thing that I did not enjoy during this time here, Dr. Fields. I am sorry. Hebrew class was a bummer. I don't have enough phlegm to speak Hebrew. I think he's going to go back and change his grade. He's going to get his grade book out 50. I'm going to fail now. I'm going to have to come back and take Hebrew class again. I can't lie because... It's better now. Do we get to take Mucinex before class? Do we get morphine? That's what I give my patients. Y'all, enjoy. What I'm telling you is enjoy this time. This time is a blast. It is awesome. But let's fast forward 10 years. 2023. Most of you guys will be in your late 20s. Some of you will hit that age where you turn old, which is 30. And the fact of the matter is that where are my youth ministry guys again? Where are they all at? Okay. Bunch of you. Some of you in 10 years will be out of ministry. For some of you, it will be because of your own sin. Some of you will be out of ministry because you will have been so beaten up that you have to tap out. Some of you will be out because your spouse has seen how beaten up you are. And although you want to keep going, she will say, look, you've got to stop for our sakes. And you will tap out. Some of you, you will get married here. And you will be divorced in 10 years. Some of you will struggle with the pain of infertility. Some of you will lose fathers, mothers, friends. Some of you may find a person like me coming into your home because you may be fighting the fight of your life with terminal disease. And some of you, God, I hope this doesn't happen, some of you will walk away from God completely. And I don't say these things to be a killjoy. I say these things because these have happened to people that I sat in these pews with, that I went to school with. It has happened to me. It is a guarantee that at some point in your life, in some way, shape, or form, all hell is going to break loose on you. And I know, being young, what you're thinking, it's not going to happen to me. Yes, it will. I thought the same thing. I thought I had it all figured out when I sat right where you are. That was my assignment. You guys don't have assigned seats in chapel. I did. I had to sit there. If I didn't, I got wrote up. I thought that. I'm going to take the world by the horns. Satan doesn't have a chance. But it's going to happen. And like Habakkuk and like the patience that I take care of, you will ask why. I've done so many times since my time here. 10 years ago, in August of 2002, I was on the cusp of starting a new church up in the hometown I grew up in the mountains of Virginia, and had one of my best friends up there with me, ready to start the church. He had just gotten married. His son was a month away from being born. I get a call one Sunday after church that he was dead because he was killed in a plane crash. God, what's up? Last week, I'm standing in a nursing home room with one of my patients, a faithful lady who loved God and watched her son say goodbye as she passed away. Only a few hours before, that very same son had been to his cancer doctor and found out that his cancer is terminal. God, what's up? There may come a time in your life where life has crumbled around you so hard that Jesus is all you've got. And it is in those times where the gospel becomes most clear. It is in those times that the gospel becomes most real. And what is the gospel? Very simply this, that Jesus Christ, all hell broke loose on Him on the cross as He died for our sins. He took God's punishment. He took our punishment for us in our place, dying the death we should have died. He who knew no sin became sin in our place. And 3 days later, what did He do? He got up and walked out of His own grave. Dead men don't do this. Okay, that doesn't happen. I of all people know because I have watched people die. What you see in the movies that Hollywood produces about death, it is not like that at all. But this guy did. He gets up, walks out of his own grave, and tells Satan, sin, and death where to stick it. Guys, that is the gospel. I wouldn't advise going and saying that to your youth group. Your parents might get you in trouble. I might get wrote up for that. I don't know. But guys, that is the gospel, that Jesus Christ went through hell for us. He knows what it's like when all hell breaks loose. And He has defeated Satan, sin, and death. And when we look to Him in the midst of our chaos, when life crumbles around us, and it will, we're going to have a choice to make. We're either going to look at God and flip Him the bird, or we are going to embrace Jesus. Like Habakkuk, we will embrace Him because we will realize that all the pain and the hurt of this life is just temporary. It is a drop in the ocean of eternity. What does the book of Hebrews say? That this momentary light affliction cannot compare to the glory that is to come. And when life crumbles around you, and guys, it will, He has promised to deliver us, He has promised to save us, and He has promised to give us everything we need to endure. He is our salvation and our strength. I want to leave you with a story of one of my patients. Sweet, sweet lady. Oh man, she was so sweet. I go to see her, and she told me that her job, when she was able to work, was she worked in the neonatal intensive care unit at the hospital. She took care of preemie babies, babies like this big, and she loved it. She's like, I love those little babies. And she did. She would smile every time she told stories about it. And we would sit there and we would laugh. We'd talk about God. She would insist that I eat some cake before I go. It's a miracle I don't weigh 400 pounds because of this woman. Wonderful, wonderful lady. And after a while, her health began to decline even more. And she got to the place where she slept about 20 hours a day and stayed in the bed because she didn't move. And about 2 weeks before she passed away, I went in and saw her. And I said, what are you looking forward to most about heaven? She said, I want to see Jesus. I'm like, when you see Him, what are you going to do? I'm going to hug His neck. Now, I am from the mountains of Virginia, obviously, okay? When I came back down to eastern North Carolina and I heard somebody say, oh, let me just hug your neck. Okay, I'm not Hulk Hogan. I'm not John Cena. I'm not The Rock. I don't wrestle. Okay, hugging your neck, I'm thinking somebody's going to put me in a headlock. But I quickly realized, oh, wait a minute. When you say you're going to hug somebody's neck, yes, you are literally going to hug them. But that is one of the sweetest expressions of love that I have ever heard. When you tell somebody, I just want to hug your neck, you're telling them that you love them. And that's what this lady was saying. When I get to heaven, I want to find Jesus and I'm going to hug His neck because I love Him so much. 2 weeks later, we got the call from her family that she was getting ready to depart from this life. And we were there all night. That's not usual for us, but for this time it was. And this lady had not opened her eyes all night long. All night she did not open her eyes. She was comfortable. She was okay. And at around 4:15 in the morning, her breathing changed. Her breathing changed. And it was obvious that she was getting ready to go. And all I said was, darling, go on. And her family told her, we love you. Go on to Jesus. And I walked around to the side of the bed because she was kind of laying with her head this way. This woman had not opened her eyes in 8 hours. And I get to the side of the bed, I look, and she opens her eyes as big as I've ever seen. And this huge smile comes across her face. She wasn't looking at me. She was looking through me. And she let out her last breath and she died. Y'all, I am very skeptical about a lot of things. But you cannot convince me that this woman did not have a Stephen experience. You paid attention in Professor Willard's Acts class. What happened to Stephen? Before he dies, what does he look up and see? He sees Jesus sitting at the right hand of God. You cannot convince me that this woman did not see Jesus. She didn't have to find Him. He came to get her and hug her neck. Y'all, that's what I want to leave you with today. No matter what life throws at you, hug on Jesus' neck. When life is awesome, and it will be, hug on Jesus' neck. When all hell breaks loose, and it will, hug on Jesus' neck. Remember His own words. The night before He dies, what does He tell His disciples? A lot. Yeah, He told them a lot. But he says, guys, in this world, you will, not you might, not you could, you will have what? Trouble. Now, Jesus could have stopped there. But how does the verse end? But take heart, I have overcome the world. Now, this is before he dies and is resurrected. You'd have thought he would have said, I will overcome the world. No, he said, I have. In his mind, it is a guarantee. In spite of whatever life throws at you, I have overcome the world. Y'all, he is our salvation. He is our strength. Enjoy your time here and then hug his neck like crazy when life comes at you. Too many people are dependent on us to take the gospel out into this world, no matter what you are doing. Preaching, youth ministry. We got any nursing students in here? Bless you. My wife did the same thing. You have a chance to do some amazing stuff. No matter what field of work you are going into, the kingdom has a chance to advance through us. We need as few casualties as possible, so hug on Jesus' neck. He's our salvation and strength. Guys are going to come up and play one more song, and I'm going to pray. Just real quick, before we do that, I'm going to be hanging around after chapel for a little bit. I got to say, you know, say hello to my buddy Ben over there. It's been a while since I've seen him, so I'm going to hang out with him, but I'd love to meet some of you guys. And later on, when you guys are doing lunch from about 11:30 to 1, give or take, we're going to, myself and some of our staff from our Elizabeth City office are going to be set up over in the cafeteria somewhere. We would love to be able to talk with you guys about doing some volunteer work for our organization. I know that volunteering is a requirement to graduate here. And for those of you guys who need some pastoral experience, nothing beats hanging out with some of the people that I do. Nursing students, oh man, get a jump on some of your clinicals and stuff like that. You can shadow one of our nurses. Counseling internships, we can do all of that. So we would love to meet you and hang out with you and just let you know how you can be the hands and feet of Jesus right here in this community through hospice. So let's pray and then they'll play us out. God, I thank you so much for this school. I had a blast here. Learned so much about you. Met some wonderful people. Met my wife here. It was a blast. It was a wonderful time. But Father, as I look back on the 14 years since I've graduated, Father, there have been a lot of casualties amongst the people that I went to school here with. And Father, for the people that are here, some of them are seniors. Graduation is so close, they can smell it. They can taste it. And Father, for the rest of them that will be here for, you know, however long, God, I pray that they will cling close to Jesus. He is our salvation. He is our strength. And God, whatever life throws at them, I pray that you will protect them, that you will guard them. Father, I pray that they will look to each other for comfort and strength when times get hard, because they will. But mostly, God, let them hang on to Jesus. Let them hug his neck, because he is our salvation and strength. God, I thank you for Jesus. He is the resurrection and the life. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Thanks, guys.
You guys can stay seated for this song.
Closer than my skin. In my darkest dreams they find me. My failures haunt me in the night. A broken image of creation, twisting and turning, hiding from the light. And then I heard a voice so clear, like deep calling deep, and I could hear. I felt your spirit drawing near, breathing life in me, destroying every fear. My spirit woke with a hopeful plea, fighting breath resonating in me. You broke the chains to set me free, gave me a song to lift my eyes and sing. Lift up your head, lift your head, 'cause help has come. Lift up your heart, lift your heart, His will be done. Lift up your hands, lift your hands and praise the One. Lift up your song, lift your song, O ransom. You know me all the same.